letter to the Hebrews, chapter 11, and it's just one verse, verse 29. It's found on page 1007 in your Bibles, in the Pew Bibles. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 29. By faith, the people crossed the Red Sea as on dry land, but the Egyptians, when they attempted to do the same, were drowned. By faith, the people crossed the Red Sea as on dry land, but when the Egyptians attempted to do the same, they were drowned. And this, of course, refers to the chapter that I read earlier, Hebrews chapter 14, where you have this account of how the people of Israel were standing on the banks of the Red Sea. And to all human appearance, they were in trouble because the Egyptian army was behind them and the Red Sea was in front of them. They had nowhere to go. And Moses was given these instructions by God, and God said to Moses that he was to lift his staff over the Red Sea, and God parted the Red Sea so that the sea was like a wall on either side. The water just stopped. And the ground was dry, and they walked through this dry land to the other side. And this was the salvation of the people of Israel. This is how it is referred to in the rest of the Bible. When you read the rest of the New Testament, this particular incident of Israel crossing the Red Sea is referred to over 70 times in the Old Testament alone. So the other writers of the Old Testament, those who wrote the historical books of the Old Testament, refer to this Exodus incident of Israel crossing the Red Sea. And then you come to the what we call the wisdom literature, Psalms and so on, particularly the Psalms. And they refer to Israel crossing the Red Sea. And then you come to the prophets, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Daniel, Hosea. And they refer to Israel crossing the Red Sea. So it's referred to over 70 times in the Old Testament alone. And it's invariably referred to as the saving work of God. How the people had been slaves in Egypt and God had saved them. And in the New Testament, we will look at a couple of references. It is referred to in the New Testament. And in the New Testament, the writers again talk about this. They were slaves in Egypt and God saved them. If you're a Christian this evening, you have experienced in a real sense, in a spiritual sense, what Israel experienced in a physical sense. Because just as they were slaves in Egypt, so we also were slaves. But we weren't slaves in Egypt, we were slaves of sin. And just as God saved them, so God has saved us. So this evening as we look at this, the salvation of the Israelites, I hope it will thrill your hearts as you remember how God has saved you. It's a wonderful thing. The Bible tells us to do this. We are always to remember the salvation of our God. This morning we met around the Lord's table. And Christ commanded us to do this. And Christ commanded us to do this because we are always to remember that God has saved us. So if you are a Christian here this evening, as we look at the salvation of Israel, I hope it will thrill your hearts and I hope it will motivate you to serve the Lord, to love Him and to live your life for Him. If you're not a Christian here this evening, I urge you to listen. I will try to be as simple as possible. And I promise you, I'm not going to be very long. But I hope that this evening, as I speak about salvation and how Israel was saved, I really hope and pray this will do you some good. Because if you're not a Christian here this evening, you need to be saved. You need to experience salvation just as many of us in this room have experienced salvation. And this evening, we're going to look at what Israel did in order to experience this salvation. This is what I'm looking at this evening. The Israelites were slaves in Egypt. And then the Israelites did a certain number of things. They did certain things. And because they did certain things, they were saved from their slavery. They were no longer slaves because they did certain things. And if you're not a Christian here this evening, you need to do certain things. And God has set before us the people of Israel as an example. And what they did, you need to do. And if you do what they did, you will experience salvation. And to be saved, to be a Christian, to be a child of God, is the most wonderful thing in the world. The number of Christians, you often hear this. A person gives a testimony and they say, well, I became a Christian when I was 18 or 25 or 40. And usually they will say, I wish I'd become a Christian earlier. Because it's such a wonderful thing. So this evening then I want to look at what Israel did so that they found salvation from their slavery. And I will apply it to us each step. There are four things that Israel did. And the first is this. The people of Israel cried out to God when they were in slavery. The people of Israel cried out to God when they were in slavery. You see, there they were in the land of Egypt. And when they first went into the land of Egypt, they weren't slaves. They were really welcomed by the Egyptians. The Egyptians saw these Israelites and they welcomed them. And they gave them a piece of land. And they said, you can live in our midst. We have no problems. But that was many hundreds of years ago. And over 400 years, the number of Israelites increased. And those who were ruling Egypt changed. And so a new king came on the throne. And this new king didn't like the Israelites. He didn't want these Israelites in his own country. And so he made them slaves. And he was cruel to them. And the people of Israel suddenly found themselves suffering. Life became difficult. Now they didn't remain quiet. They didn't just say to themselves, well, life is tough and life is difficult and I have enormous problems in life. Well, I'll just keep on. They didn't do that. When you read the earlier chapters of Exodus, you find that they cried out to God. And they asked God for mercy. Because if you don't cry out to God, you're not going to get help. You must cry out to God and ask God to save you. You must understand your situation. You must understand the mess you're in. And you must come to God and say to Him, please save me from this. I was once preaching in a village in Africa, in Kenya. And they were telling me about an incident that had happened in this village. In the villages in Kenya, the toilets are what they call pit latrines. I'm sorry, this sounds rather an unpleasant thing. But basically what they do is they dig a deep hole in the ground, a very deep hole. And then they put concrete over it. And that's the loo. And when it's full, they empty it. But that's the loo, so there's no flush. And so the people were making one of these things. And so they dug this deep hole. They hadn't used it yet. But this deep hole was there, waiting for the concrete to go over it. And this boy, 12-year-old boy, was out walking in the night. I'm not quite sure why he was walking. I mean, it wasn't night, but remember the sun sets at 6:45 every evening. So by 7 o'clock, it's dark. And there's no electricity in this village. So he was out walking in the evening, and he fell into the hole. And the sides were high and steep. They were sheer. You imagine standing there and trying to climb out up that wall. And there's nowhere for you to purchase. There's no purchase for your hands or your feet. And he knew he was in a mess. And he knew that the only way he could get help was to cry out. And he just shouted and shouted and shouted and shouted. And finally, a man was walking back from his farm. And he heard this shout, "What's going on?" And he walked tenderly towards this place and realized what had happened and went and got the villagers. And you see, the boy saw, "I'm in a mess and I need to shout. If I don't shout, I will remain here and I may die here." And the Israelites cried out to God, "If you are not a Christian here this evening, you're in a mess. You may not realize it, but you are in a mess. And if you're not a Christian here this evening, you will always remain in a mess as long as you're not a Christian. And your life will be a mess. And it'll be an unhappy life. There won't be fulfillment and joy, because those who are not Christians are separated from God and life is a mess." And so the Israelites, the first thing they did, they cried out to God when they were in slavery. You may never have prayed, but I say this to you, why not pray? Why not say to God, "I'm in a mess, please will you save me?" The second thing that the people of Israel did is that they obeyed the word of God. They obeyed the word of God. They cried out to God when they were in slavery. And God raised up a man called Moses. Now I'm going to talk about him in a moment. And Moses came to the people of Israel, and Moses spoke to them the word of God. And Moses said to them, "God has heard your prayer." And God has seen, And God has seen that you're in a mess, you're in this slavery. And God is kind. And God is loving. God doesn't just leave people in slavery when they cry out to him. God doesn't say, "Well, you got into that slavery yourselves, you can stay in it." That is not how God is. So Moses went and spoke to the people of Israel and said to them, "God has heard you." And they were thrilled. And then through Moses, God gave them certain instructions. And God said to them, "There will be a night when I will pass through the land of Egypt." Because that is what God did. God himself passed through the land of Egypt. And God said, "The firstborn child in every house will be killed, except the house where they have obeyed my word." And he said to the people, "What you do is you take hold of an animal, a goat, and you kill it, or a lamb, and you kill it, and you catch its blood, and you put its blood on the posts of the door. And as I pass through the land of Egypt, if I see a house where the people have put the lamb's blood on the doorpost, I won't kill the firstborn child in that house. I will pass over that house. I won't punish the people in that house for their sin." The people were sinful because the Israelites were idolaters. So they deserved the judgment of God. But God is gracious. And God said, "If I see blood of an animal on the posts of your house, I will pass over. I won't judge you, although you deserve to be judged. I will be gracious to you." Now, the people of Israel didn't say, this is stupid. I mean, we are sinners and we deserve judgment. And God is saying to us, do this. And it's yucky. It's not very pleasant. In Kenya, in a couple of weeks, we're having a bring and share lunch. In our church in Kenya, bring and share lunch was somebody bringing a goat. And we had people in the church who knew how to deal with this. And they would take I'm saying a lot of unpleasant things this evening. They would take a knife to this goat. And a few hours later, we would enjoy the meat from that goat. But it's not a very nice thing to actually kill that goat. There's a lot of blood. It's very messy. And so the Israelites, you see, they didn't say, well, what a silly thing to ask. And it's a horrible thing to do, to take a goat and to kill the goat. And you don't even do it somewhere and just leave it. You have to catch its blood. And then you have to bring it to your house. And you somehow have to apply the blood to the posts of your house. Well, we don't want to do this. They didn't say that. God asked them to do something and they did it. God said, obey my word, and they did it. They listened to what God was saying and they obeyed. And if you want to be saved from your sin, and you want to be saved from this life of slavery to sin, and you want to become a Christian, you have to listen to the word of God and you have to obey the word of God. If you don't listen to the word, the Bible, and you don't obey the Bible, you'll never have salvation. You'll remain in your sin. You'll remain in your mess. You must listen to this book and you must obey what it says. Do you know how I became a Christian? I was born a Hindu. And I read the Hindu scripture. I didn't read them very often, but I never read the Bible. And then I met a Christian. And he said to me, you should read the Bible. And I went and bought a Bible. I went into a Christian bookshop and I bought a Bible. And I read it every night. I would come home from work and I would open the Bible and I would read a passage, and I'd had a little notebook and a pen, and I would make notes. And day after day for 6 months, I read the Bible. And God saved me because I was willing to read His word and obey what He said. When you hear preaching, when you hear teaching in Sunday school, listen, because God is speaking, and obey what He says. So the people of Israel obeyed the word of God. The third thing that they did, the people of Israel followed the Redeemer whom God had sent. The people of Israel followed the Redeemer whom God had sent. There they were in Egypt, slaves. And they cried out to God. And God raised up a man, Moses. And God sent Moses to the people of Israel. When God called Moses, Moses was in the wilderness tending sheep. And God called him. And God said to him, I have indeed heard the cry of my people Israel, and I have seen their distress, and I have come to save them. These are the words that God spoke to Moses from a burning bush. I have indeed seen the distress of my people Israel, and I have come to save them. So He sent this man Moses. And Moses was the appointed Savior, Redeemer of the people of Israel. So Moses went to the people of Israel, and Moses said to them, what I say to you, you must do. And they did. It was Moses who said to them, kill the animal and put the blood on the post. And they did. When they heard Moses' voice, they obeyed. And then came the time when Moses said, right, you follow me, and I will lead you out of slavery. And they followed Moses. They didn't say, we don't want to follow you, we'll find our own way out, thank you. Because you see, the time came when Pharaoh, the king of Egypt, said, get out. because his own son had died. And the firstborn in every family of the Egyptians had died. So they were fed up and they say to the Israelites, right, leave, go, leave our land. Now the people didn't say, well, we'll just make our own way out. We'll find our own way out of Egypt. Moses said, follow me, I will take you the right way. And they followed him. And so they followed him out of Egypt to the banks of the river, to the Red Sea. And then he lifted up his staff and the waters divided and the dry ground appeared and he led them through the Red Sea to the other side. And he continued leading them all the way to the boundaries of the promised land. They followed the Redeemer whom God had sent. Now when we look at Moses, he reminds us of Jesus Christ. Moses, we use this word, a type. Do you remember that superb family talk? I'm going to embarrass Andy Roberts now. But do you remember that superb family talk that Andy Roberts did one Sunday morning when he talked about what is a type? Was it your hand, Andy, that you'd done, hadn't you, in plaster? And he said, you see my hand and this plaster is a type of my hand. When you look at it, you can see features of my hand. You can see what my hand is like. And that's what Moses. Moses, when you look at him, you can see something of what Jesus is like. Because just as God sent Moses to the people of Israel, God has sent Jesus to us. And just as Moses came with the Word of God, so Christ has come with the Word of God. And just as Moses said to the Israelites, follow me and I will lead you out. Jesus says, follow me and I will save you from your sins and take you to the promised land of heaven. If you want to be saved from your sins, you must trust Jesus Christ. You must come to Him. You must ask Him to save you. Because He alone is the Savior whom God has sent. You must ask Him to wash you in His blood. You must ask Him to forgive you your sin. You must ask Him to make you a child of God. You must trust Him. Don't trust me. Don't trust anybody else. I mean, trust me when I tell you God's word. But what I mean is don't follow me because I'm only a man and I'm a sinner. But Christ is the Savior whom God has sent. And you must ask Him to save you. You know, for 6 months I read the Bible. And at the end of that 6 months, on the 1st of June 1985, I was sitting in my bedroom and I knew I was a sinner. I knew I was separated from God. I knew that I was in a total mess. I knew I was going to hell. I knew that I had no hope of saving myself. I knew only Jesus could save me. And I just closed my eyes and I prayed a very simple prayer. I didn't know how to pray. And I just said, Jesus, save me. 3 words. And Christ saved me. My sins were washed away. And I became a born-again Christian, a child of God. Because Christ is the Savior. You must come to Him. And you must trust Him for your salvation. So the people of Israel cried out to God when they were in slavery. And they obeyed the word of God. And they followed the Redeemer whom God had sent. Now the fourth point is a very serious point. And it's a warning. It is in the Bible and I bring it to you because it's a very strong warning. And the fourth point is this. The people of Israel did not persevere in their faith. I should actually have put many, because some did. But many of these people who heard Moses and who followed Moses out of Egypt through the Red Sea, through the dry ground, into the wilderness, did not continue to trust God. They began to grumble against God. And they began to say, how this Christian life is a difficult life. And God is making demands upon us. We don't want these demands. We're fed up with these demands. And there's no fun in it. And we want the fun of this world. And many of them did not continue in their faith. If you have the Bible open at Hebrews, just turn back a few pages to chapter 3. Hebrews and chapter 3. This is a very serious passage of Scripture because it speaks about these people. Hebrews and chapter 3. And it says, I'm going to read from verse 12. And it says there, "Take care, brothers, lest there be in any of you an evil, unbelieving heart leading you to fall away from the living God." Be very careful, he says, in case there is in you an evil, unbelieving heart leading you to fall away from the living God. "But exhort one another." Exhort means encourage. "Encourage one another every day, as long as it is called today, that none of you may be burdened by the deceitfulness of sin. For we have come to share in Christ, if indeed we hold our original confidence firm to the end. As it is said, today if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion." Then he speaks about the people with Moses. For who were those who heard and yet rebelled? Was it not all those who left Egypt led by Moses? And with whom was he provoked for 40 years? Was it not with those who sinned, whose bodies fell in the wilderness? And to whom did he swear that he would not, that they would not enter his rest, but to those who were disobedient? So we see that they were unable to enter because of unbelief. So he says, these people who were slaves in Egypt, they cried out to God, they obeyed God, they followed Moses, they go into the wilderness, and then they become rebellious. And they stop following Moses, and they complain against Moses. And they no longer have faith in their hearts. And he says, God was not pleased with them. And God did not allow them to enter the promised land. Because you must persevere. You know, the Christian life is like a marathon. And you watch the beginning of the London Marathon. And there's, I don't know, there must be hundreds of people who start the London Marathon. And I don't know whether it's the gun or what, but when the gun goes, they all begin. And there's hundreds and hundreds of people who've begun the London Marathon. And you think, wonderful. But you don't find the mayor of London at the starting point giving medals and prizes and certificates to the people saying, you're about to start the marathon, here's your medal. Doesn't do that, does he? Whoever presents the medals presents them at the end. Because you know what the marathon is like. They all begin the marathon, but some fall away. Some get injured, some get tired, some get dehydrated. And they fall away, they don't finish the race. And if you don't finish the race, you don't get the medal. He doesn't come to you and say, well, you had an injury after 5 miles, too bad, I'll give you a medal anyway. Don't do that. It is those who finish the race that win the prize. And if you've started the Christian race, continue and finish. Don't give up. Do not give up. I know it's hard. It's hard for every Christian. I promise you this. All of us, we're finding it hard. And you know what we do? We pray that God would help us to persevere. That's what I do. Every day, Lord, help me to persevere, that I may not give up. You've started the race, don't give up. Because many of the Israelites did and did not enter the promised land. So this was the salvation of the Israelites. They cried out to God, they obeyed God, they followed the Redeemer whom God had sent. And some persevered and entered the promised land. That's a warning for us. Let's pray together.